is the anthem of the adventurer. The show for men who are tired of forsaking their dreams, who are willing to risk, to dare greatly, and know in their soul that their desire for adventure is good. It's time to venture into the wild places in our hearts. Here's your host, Dan Sayner.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Anthem of the Adventurer. I'm your host, Dan Sayner, and super excited to get into today's episode with you. Oh my gosh, this book, Wired to Hear by Bob Hassan and Sean Boltz, has been really, really good, and they are so much fun to talk to. Can't wait to get you into the interview with them. But some resources for you before we get going and introduce you to Bob and Sean here. So if you head over to the anthemoftheadventurer.com, we have a box at the top of the website for the Adventure Challenge books. These are a lot of fun scratch-off books that show you some ideas for getting into some little casual adventures with your friends, with your family, with your spouse. And you have to commit to the adventure before you see what it is. So never really know what you're going to get. But if you want to try it out, go over to the Adventure Challenge website, or you can click the link on our site and use the promo code DAN10 at checkout for 10% off. If you're looking for deeper adventures, crucial adventures, especially where you need to create or optimize a team that you're on, our friends over at SEAL Team Leaders provide training and courses for creating, operating, and sustaining high-functioning teams and creating permanent positive change in those that we serve. A life full of adventure takes a team and planning. Also, we got a lot of changes coming up in the next month here. You're going to see, starting Memorial Day, so May 31st here in the United States, a whole lot of good stuff is coming, and you're going to want to make sure you get all of it. So jump on our email list. It's all the way at the bottom of the website currently, but the website is a-changing starting in May, so keep an eye out for that. Okay, so I'm going to start out with a question here. What does it look like to partner with God? How can we hear his voice on a daily basis and confidently respond with action and obedience? For many of us, that way of life may seem out of reach or too good to be true, at best served reserved for some spiritual superstars like John Eldridge and those people. But today we're going to talk with best-selling author, pastor, and podcaster Sean Boltz and CEO Bob Hassan. The reality is that Christians are hardwired to hear God's voice in all things, especially in the work he has called us to do. So in their new book, Wired to Hear, Connecting God's Voice to Your Life, Influence, and Career, Sean and Bob empower and equip readers in their pursuit of how to hear God's voice. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is hearing God's voice in the marketplace, in your career, in your calling. Maybe it's a homemaker, maybe it's an engineer, maybe a podcaster, maybe a janitor. Wherever you land, you can hear God's voice calling and directing your steps. So it's going to be a really great conversation. I just had so much fun with Bob and Sean, and it's a really great message that is very needed at this time on the earth where so many people just feel lost and misdirected and feeling like they don't know where they should go and where they can go to hear what God has for them. So here we go with Sean Boltz and Bob Hassan. Enjoy. Welcome to another episode of the Anthem of the Adventurer. I'm your host, Dan Sayner, and today we've got two wonderful guests that I'm super excited to get to know better today. We got Bob and Sean. Bob, let's start that again. I wanted to say Holtzman for some reason.
It's Hassan. You can call me a terrorist and make me Hassan.
Yeah, that's what we used to do.
But Hassan.
All right, I'm going to try that again. Woo. Okay. Welcome to another episode of the Anthem of the Adventure. I'm your host, Dan Sayner, who can't pronounce anybody's last name right. But today, I'm really excited to introduce you to Sean Boltz and Bob Hassan. couple of new friends that I'm just really excited to spend some time with today, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy this too. Welcome, guys. Good to have you.
Hey, we're so glad to be here. You're doing great. Bob's name for the first 3 months I knew him, so that makes sense.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us. So I'm just really excited to get to talk to you guys and about your new book, Wired to Hear, which I'm really digging. But first, as you guys know, we like to start off these interviews with a challenge so we can get right into action right away. So I hear that you both have a challenge for us. So what you got?
Age before beauty, Bob. Go for it.
Well, you know, our book Wired to Hear is about connecting God's voice to your life, influence, and career. And so one of the things that we'll talk about later is how do we hear God? And the basic way you hear God is by listening. So in my relationship with my wife, I listen to her so that it goes well in my life.
That's a good start.
and so what I'm setting up here is a challenge to whatever issue your listeners are dealing with right now, whether it's family, whether it's business, whether it's marketplace, whether it's personal, whatever it is, we all have something that we're dealing with and that we need God's guidance on. And so what my challenge is to do a 2-week experiment, which is to put the issue before the Lord. Now, a lot of times we go into our prayer closet and we have a list or we have that we just go through and we're praying and we really don't take time to listen. Maybe at the end, we'll take 5 minutes to,
yeah,
okay, Lord, I'm going to listen to you. And, you know, I expect these answers to these massive problems in 5 minutes, 4 minutes and 50 seconds, 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Well, what I'm proposing is that what our listeners do is take 2 weeks and then be aware of all the different ways the Lord speaks. He speaks through scripture. He speaks through prophecy. He speaks through our friends who are having an unrelated conversation. He speaks through wisdom. He speaks through mentors. He speaks in a whole myriad of ways. And to take these 2 weeks and listen for the Lord in different ways. We're wired to hear each of us in a different way. And I think this challenge, although it's not physical, will put us on a road to seeing God in a new way.
That is really good. As much as I love the physical challenges, sometimes I enjoy these type of challenges even more because I love to carry lots of heavy crap long distances, but like these, I think are more fulfilling long term. I'm really looking forward to digging into that. I got plenty of issues that I need to listen about.
Well, pick one. I mean, pick one. And for me, you know, it started a long, long time ago with a strategic plan. Like, where is my business going to go? I was nervous about, I didn't know where it was going to go. And I sat down with my wife years and years ago. We wrote a strategic plan and we asked God to speak to us through the strategic planning process. So that's sort of where I'm coming from here.
That's really good.
Well, you get two for one because you're right as well. And I'm adjusting mine as I heard Bob's because we didn't talk ahead of time. I tried to talk to him this morning, but he probably was in a work meeting. So we didn't get a hold of each other. But mine is all about it's similar. It's a compatible or companion one to this. Yeah. And when you look at God and we're looking at God for our career and our place of work, our place of influence, one of the things the Bible says over and over is that God is love, especially John 1, you know, John 1, we have God is love. So I want to do an exercise with you where I want you to this week sometime to do this and in connection to what Bob's saying and look at 1 Corinthians 13. But if you're ambitious, you want the bonus round, you're going to look at the whole New Testament, 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm reading out of the Passion Translation where it says love is patient, love is kind in the NIV. You could also substitute what God's like in his love, because love means something. It's actually practical. It's tangible. It's not just ethereal and romance novel, you know, And so that means that God is these things. And so I'm just going to read it as God is. And then we're gonna do one more. Verse 4 says, God is large and incredibly patient. God is gentle and consistently kind to all. God refuses to be jealous. And when blessing comes to someone else, God does not brag about one's achievements or inflate his own importance. And you keep going through it. It's pretty incredible. Mm. But now you're going to put yourself there and you're going to kind of rate yourself according to the love scale. How well am I emulating love in my career, in my family, and the places of my life? And so you're going to say, Sean is large and incredibly patient. I am large right now. And incredibly patient. Except for in traffic and at Disneyland. Sean is gentle and consistently kind to all. Sean refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Sean does not brag. So you put yourself, Sean joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Sean is a safe place of shelter, for he never stops believing the best for others. So actually putting God and then putting yourself in the light of love through the scripture, because when we look at for who God is and what we're supposed to be like right now, especially with Bob and I writing this book, Wired to Hear, like we're trying to hear from God, but we need to know what he's like. Mm-hmm. And we need to put him in real situations in our life and say, what would God do in this situation? Not what would Jesus do bracelets, but what does love actually look like practically in a board meeting or a strategic planning meeting? And so we're allowed to use our imagination for that. What is God like? According to the scripture, he is love. And according to love, love actually has tangibles. And if you look at Galatians 5, the fruit of the spirit, well, this is actually putting the fruit of the spirit isn't just a nice virtue. It's actually part of how you emulate becoming like Jesus. So that's my challenge for this week.
That is really good. And I love that. Another friend of mine challenged me in a similar way of, you know, you rate your life kind of success based on how much of the fruits of the spirit you're producing.
Yeah. You know? It's the same kind of thing, but it's different when we put our name there and we go, wait, am I love? Am I patient? Am I kind? Am I long suffering? We know our own rating and Holy Spirit will help us to see. And it's not to condemn us, but it's so we can say, okay, here's opportunities of growth.
That's really good. Wow. Cool. Those are probably two of the most unique challenges that we've gotten. I'm really excited to see what people do with those. So when you take on Bob and Sean's challenges, shoot us a message, especially if it was really impactful for you, and we'll send some carrier pigeons back their way and let them know what happened. Awesome, man. Love that. So now that we set the stage appropriately, who is Bob and Sean? What are you guys about? Kind of set the ground floor for us.
It's always weird when we're interviewing together, right, Bob? Because then we're usually interviewing people. So it's funny when you're asking us questions like who goes first? Like, what are we
let's do Sean. You're on the top of my screen in the Brady Bunch view here.
I talked first, so I gotta go first. So I am a dad and a husband in Los Angeles, California. And I've had a ministry for about 25 to 27 years, teaching people how to connect to God in a real way. And that actually has, you know, changes the metrics of their life and influences the world around them. I love the theme of transformation of the Bible, where people actually become something new and where Jesus died on the cross so that we could actually be restored to his original plan. So I've taught people, especially out of the prophetic or hearing God's voice, if you don't know the word prophetic, hearing his voice and seeing his voice, you know, actually activate relationship in your life. And so I've done this for a long time. At the same time, I've been in the video game industry and now the entertainment industry for about 14 or 15 of those years off and on. And love video games. If you looked at the screen behind me, which Jan could see, I have like all Star Wars and Avengers and Fallout and Fortnite and whatever. So I still am a gamer. It's one of my passions. My wife sews into it, which is awesome. She doesn't,
pull
me away from it. She loves it. She's like, I love what it does for you. So that's very unique in marriage to have some.
That know, is very unique. Like, My wife is the long-suffering part of love with my video game habit.
It is a habit. I don't golf. I play video games. And Bob and I host a podcast together called Exploring the Marketplace. And we really enjoy leading people into like what's happening. What's the God story behind different industries where Christians are? And how is their faith making a difference in their life? And we're just hosting this incredible conversation. I produce some Christian media as well. So I have a new TV show coming out on May 31st on TBN called Discovering God. It's discovering him through his names. Mm. You can also watch my last show, which is still airing, which is called Translating God, where I'm hosting about hearing God's voice for yourself and the world around you.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I'm going to have to check that out.
The one thing I love, Dan, about Sean is that he has
spent do that all week.
What'd you say?
We're going to do that, are we?
No.
We're going to tell them what we love about each other.
You're not going to. But the one thing I love is he demystifies hearing God for people. He's taught all over the world about how to hear God and, you know, in the prophetic. And he makes it so simple. it's just this beautiful gift that he has. And he has this gift of himself hearing God and being able to appropriate that for other people. So it's just a beautiful gift. And we got introduced years ago to each other by a close friend of ours named Danny Silk. And over the years, our relationship, we became closer and closer and started, you know, working together and consulting together. And then, you know, as friends who see something in you that you don't see in you, he started saying things like, hey, we should go do, you know, business speaking together when he was on his 37 tour stop. And so I went with him and did that. And we started the process of writing this book and this, this podcast. It's just been an amazing collaboration and partnership. And people, somebody asked us, Sean, a couple weeks ago, like, is it really hard working together? And we laughed and said, no, it's like not even working. It's
totally not working. Well, really everybody good. Needs a Bob Hassan in their life. And Bob has been in business for 46, 47 years. And he just brings expertise to risk management and cash performance and that kind of stuff, but also helps to give you faith. Whether you're an organization like a for-profit or a nonprofit, he works with both. And I've had friends who he's worked with and actually helped them to really graduate levels of just success and also problematic areas and help push them through. And then he did it for us in our organization while we were doing it. I was like, I want your voice because I want to go after the marketplace. I want to go after people and careers. I believe that that's the final frontier, so to speak, of what God's doing is, you know, having Daniels and Josephs and Esthers and Solomons in society doing what they do. And people come to him and say, surely your God's real because you're doing this, you know? And I was like, that's what Solomon, the Queen of Sheba, said to him. So I'm like, everybody needs a Bob because you need people to help you walk in certain stages. And so Bob's been a key voice in our life, but also obviously now to so many.
Sean had a word that sort of was the genesis for this book. He said, marketplace leaders are going to be the forerunners in the next great move of God. Well, he didn't say it. He heard God. He got an impression from God about that. Mm. And when I heard, you know, my friend and I are talking about these things, but, you know, in his prophetic gift, when he hears the Lord say something like that got my attention. I've been in the marketplace for, my whole career, almost 45 years. I run a subcontracting business, and I've been a Christian for since 1978, just right at the end of the Jesus movement. Mm. And so I've kind of gone hand in hand with just growing and seeing, you know, different moves of God. I've been behind the scenes for most of my life as a consultant. And, you know, when I was 57 years old, I wrote my first book called Business of Honor, and everything changed. God said, we're going on a different direction, and you're coming with me. And, and then in the flesh.
Adventure. There you go. Adventure.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was an adventure. I mean, cause I'm doing things that aren't in my wheelhouse. I'm, you know, I have a microphone and my hand shaking, you know, and I hope nobody sees that. And I'm nervous, like, are people going to listen to me? And am I going to know how to speak? So this whole, you know, I went with Sean and we did all this. And, so it's this yes to God thing that happened to me where I just decided to say yes to him. And yes to my friends who love me. And it's been a wild adventure. Mm.
Isn't that what it's all about? It's like, I'm just kind of thinking highlights of similar things in my own life the past few years of like, yep, when I said yes there, even though I had no idea it was coming, that's where God showed up. And like my friend Morgan Snyder says in his book, you know, adventure is where God has to show up.
Oh, I love that.
Yep.
That's really cool. And it's totally true. It's like, I don't know what's down this road. It looks tangled with weeds and horseflies over there, but that's where God says to go. Let's go. And it's,
I guess we're all spiritually wild ride. On God's spiritual naked and afraid show.
I think that's truer than we joke, but like, you know, it goes back to Adam, right? You know, I was naked and afraid, so I hid. Oh man. So you wrote this really great book, Wired to Hear, which I'm about halfway through. Like, what you, and I mentioned a little bit about why you wrote it, but who is this for? Like what's in here? What are they going to get out of it?
Well, for me, I think of just in the charismatic Pentecostal circles, a lot of people get prophecies that they're the next Joseph, that they're going to be somebody who helps through great dark times, that they're going to be help the Christian community. And they're also going to help the natural community. Mm. And people get words that are an Esther and that, you know, that there's someone who's going to help bring great freedom, or maybe it's over anti-human trafficking, or it's through their career, or it's through as a woman standing up and, you know, bringing a new level of rights to what God intended over women, or that, you know, people get a word that they're going to be wise like Solomon, or some people, maybe in the evangelical world, where they read something and they're like, I want to do that. And I feel like this is kind of a manual to actually walk that out. When we look at, you know, the times when Jesus is going to return, one of the things that we know is there's going to be lots of troubles. But we know Isaiah 60, you know, a light will shine on us. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of God rises upon you. Thick darkness covers the earth. But for you, favor is going to come. Your daughters and your sons are going to come from afar, which represents they're going to come from the things you're cooperating with. That's a symbol of like when Solomon would marry a foreign land and he would inherit their sons and daughters. And so it's a thing of like, we're about to go into a worldwide harvest, but it's going to look like, you know, in the marketplace where we're positioned to solve really practical problems through technology and through, you know, medical, you know, science and through different areas, the agricultural issues and science. Christians are, it doesn't mean we're going to dominate every field, but we are going to be assist what God wanted in some of these fields to mature and come forward, especially in areas where there looks like there's no option for it to happen anymore because we've depleted resources or we're at the end of a technology we had before. And so for me, it's anybody who's in a career or a place of influence or somebody who feels like that calling or that sense that I'm supposed to be have significance in my place of what I'm working on. They need this manual because all of those that I mentioned, other than Esther, didn't get to where they were without hearing God or understanding what was in God's heart. Esther probably organically had that. It just doesn't talk about it in her book, but we need to have that deep connected relationship to hearing his voice and knowing him.
Mm.
Yeah.
One thing kind of struck me as you were talking there, that's been really on my heart a lot lately, is, you know, using our position, using our influence to help others, to bring change in the world. And, my wife's Filipino. We've got a lot of, you know, Asian American, Pacific Islander friends, and it's been a really dark year for that community. One of our dear friends was, you probably saw in the New York Times, she was beaten up walking on her way to church in New York City. And with things like that going on, how can we use what you talk about, wired to hear, to help those who are in real struggle right now, especially as just, you know, white dudes in middle America?
Mr. Hassan, problem solver.
Well, I think we all have to recognize that we're, our identity is that we're sons, loved sons and daughters of God. And we have to come from that place first. And we've seen through history dark times. And we saw God wipe out the entire earth with the flood. We saw him wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah. We saw the Jews making golden calf idols. And we have seen dark times through recorded history. And I think this is the time that we need to turn to Jesus, because politics aren't going to solve this. Jesus is going to solve this, and love is going to solve this. Going back to Sean's challenge, if everyone in the world would take Sean's challenge and put themselves in the love scriptures, I think we'd see a radical change. And to me, the only hope that we have in these dark times is Jesus.
Mm. Well, and I think when you talk about that, Bob, and to answer kind of the question, maybe more directly, when you have, because I love what Bob said, it's when you have, you know, a Christian on a journey with God into culture, you know, whether it's entertainment culture like I am, or whether it's, you know, business culture, tech culture, venture capital, even just starting a coffee shop, it doesn't matter, whatever it is. there's going to be specific challenges because we're going after doing this with God and for God, not for ourselves and not for the world. So we're not going to cut corners. We're not going to do things and compromise on issues. We're not going to do bribes so we can get permits faster. We're going to do something that actually is line upon line in some ways and also is going to have an impact on the world around us. Usually there's a give back to the community or a give back to someone. So there's a challenge or the Antichrist spirit that's talked about in the book of Revelations is not a spirit that was in the church going, I'm going to get you. As a matter of fact, when Satan came to Jesus, he didn't bring him to the mountaintop of government. He brought him to the top of the temple and showed him everything and said, if you will give this up, I'm going to give you all of these realms in this kingdom. I'll give you the marketplace. I'll give you the politics. I'll give you everything, you know, culture. And when the Antichrist spirit is over the markets, the marketplaces, the airwaves. And so people who go after this, we face unique challenges and we have to be in a specific process with God because we're expecting spiritual fruit of restoration and redemption and life and abundance. And so we're going to have a special process, which means a unique process of relationship, walking this out with God. So we don't get tripped up by what the world gets tripped up and we don't hit the walls. And if we do hit the walls, that we have God who breaks through those walls for us. And I think that that's the unique thing about this book is that we're helping people to look at their process, trust their instinct and their intuition, go after, you know, faith and risk, but doing it in a context of connected relationship with God versus disconnected relationship where it's like, God is my CEO, but that doesn't mean you're doing it with God. It means you're doing something for him based on the best principles in your head, most likely. But we're saying, no, do it with God. He can be your CEO, but do it with him. You are a son of God, not a servant of God first. You're a son of God first who serves him. So that means you're doing something like Adam. The very first thing God did for him is give him a job to do with him, not for him. He didn't need Adam to do it for him, but he wanted a son who would do it with him. So I think God's still doing that today. And he puts some demonstration. Again, the Queen of Sheba comes and says, surely your God loves his people, Solomon, because he raised up a man like you. In other words, when we're doing what we're called to do, it causes people to see what God's really like.
Yes. And the very next thing that comes to mind is like, you know, for so many people, even, you know, who have been in the faith for years are like, well, I don't really hear God. Like you talk about a few different ways that God's voice comes through in the book and that process. Can you speak to that a bit?
Well, in the first chapter, there's a beautiful story that Sean talks about a businessman who came and said to him, I don't hear God. And Sean spent time with him and reverse engineered a major decision in his life. And it, I think, Sean, you can finish the story. I think it's just a beautiful story about how we're so unaware so many times about how God's actually speaking to us.
Yeah, I think, you know, when Martin Luther, and I'll finish the story, when Martin Luther nailed the thesis of 200, you know, points on the Wittenberg door and Protestantism was born. I love Catholicism still, but Protestantism is what I practice. And when it was born, he was saying, we're justified by our own faith to read the Bible. We don't need someone to do it for us. We're justified by our own faith to interact with God through prayer and ultimately to be led by God. But we've left that part out of most of the church because we look at it as something that some people are gifted for and some people are not gifted for. So what we've tried to do is to deconstruct that and take away all the excuses that the average person has to say, my wife's the prophetic one. Like the business friend in the first chapter, he said, my wife's the prophetic one. I said, I hate that because that means you have an excuse for not having to hear God, but I know you hear from God. So we took a couple of the big moments in his life where he had big wins. And I said, were you responsible for the wins or was God in you responsible for the wins? He's like, well, I mean, I don't know. Like God was, but he blessed me, but it's because I made decisions. How did you make those decisions? Well, I just decided. And so we went all the way back into how he made the decisions and he realized, oh my gosh, I set myself up to hear God, but it was internal. It wasn't a disruptive Morgan Freeman, James Earl Jones voice that says, this is the way, you know, disruptive voice, which most Christians want, but God only uses disruptive voice when people were in rebellion or they didn't know him. But John 10 says, my sheep know my voice and they know my name. And then John 14, 15, 16, Jesus himself prophesies, I have to go, but who will come for me is the Holy Spirit who will speak on the Father's behalf to you. In 1 Corinthians 2, we have a layout of that where Paul says, the Holy Spirit's job is to search the deepest, most innermost perceptions or thoughts of the Father and relate those inside the deepest places in you. So the majority way that Christians hear from God is perceiving him. It's the last verse of 1 Corinthians 2. We have the mind or the perceptions of Christ, which if Christians understood in Jewish tradition, how big that statement was, it's one of the dividing statements of Judaism to Christianity, where Jews are like, we will never have the mind of God. And Paul's saying, as a Jewish man, as a believer now, we have the mind of God more than Solomon, more than Daniel, and Daniel 1:12 or 17, where he was given divine intelligence. We actually get to share the deepest, most innermost thoughts as if we're one, like Jesus was one with the Father. And so if we believe that as a Christian, that means we're going to have those moments of intuition, those moments of, wow, this feels right. Those moments of like, wait, I need to go there and talk to this person. Those moments of like, wow, I'm having breakthrough in the, what I'm thinking about in my contracts or my, we're going to have those, but do we attribute those to God? And so even we start at the books just saying, is God the hero of your story? When you have a win, or are you seeing how he's leading you into these places to be blessed and prospered? Because all goodness, all good things come from God. So how do you reverse engineer to look for how he's walking with you and how you're saying yes, so you know how you got there?
Yeah. And it's not, it's, I like how you put it as, you know, it's not an audible voice. Sometimes it's impressions. Like for me, he speaks a lot through movies and music. Like I get absolutely wrecked by the end of The Last Samurai, and it's different every time.
So good.
Like, and it's totally God. Like that movie is a thin place for me. Like there's just something about the way he's created me uniquely that, man, I'm almost choking up just talking about it. Where there's something about that story that relates to his story and my place in it.
Wow. Well, I was going to make a joke and tell you so that and say Bob's favorite movie is SpongeBob, but I decided I didn't want to ruin the Last Samurai moment. Oh, wait, I just did.
Well, he can edit it out.
I mean,
I will.
If nautical nonsense is the place in the story that God put you, then so be it.
No, but that's it. I think you recognize how God speaks to you. And so it's fun to be able to press into it, but it's also recognizing that because he speaks to you, your life's not going to be led by you alone, but he's actually going to lead you into places you wouldn't have asked to go. Like you said to Peter, you're going to be like blind to how you would want to be led. You're going to be led in ways that you wouldn't even want to go. And yeah. Bob and I can both attest to, and I'm sure anyone listening who has any maturity in their Christianity can attest to, I didn't decide to do this part. God just asked me to, but it led to this kind of fruit or this mm-hmm. kind of goodness. And I think career people especially need to hear that. Cause when you hear a pastor say it, it's like, I didn't want to go to the city and plant a church, but then God came and 3,000 people come to my church now. You could believe that at default. Like, of course, God wants to build churches. But when a Fortune 500 business guy says it, which we know some who say that, mm-hmm. you listen to it and you go, how did you figure that out? Like, that's fascinating to most people. Mm-hmm. Whereas the pastor's story is fascinating in the sense of like, that's good for you. But the other guy, you're like, really? It happens there too?
I think it's interesting. I don't know the exact percentage, but somewhere, just bear with me, 98.5% of us work outside of the church, outside of the professional ministry. Just let's say it's a high percentage. And so if that's the case, then hearing God in the marketplace is for almost all of us. And we know pastors, Sean, that are pastoring a church and are entrepreneurial and have their own business. You did that. Right now you have a 501c3 and you have a business. And so we know plenty of people who have crossed over. And the thing that we see over and over again, and the questions that we hear asked to us over and over again, is how do I know if this practical decision, this business decision is from God? How do I know whether I should turn left or turn right? How do I know if I feel like God's putting something in my heart to start a business or to get a new job? How do I know? And that's where this practice of listening really comes in place, because we have intuition, we have wisdom, we have process. We have a culture that speaks to us in all these areas. And just like Dan, what you're talking about, movies speak to you. You hear the Lord through that piece of culture. So I think that it's broadening our description of hearing from God is one of the things that we're talking about all through this book.
Absolutely.
I think what I heard you say there too is something that I read in another book that is also about hearing from God, called Walking with God by John Eldridge.
Yeah,
it's a great book. Man, that was my introduction into like, oh, I can actually hear from God.
Yeah.
About 4 years ago. And I like what he said in there. And I think that's what you guys are bringing out as well, is like, you can learn to hear God in the little things first, like the daily, hey, which route should we take to the office this morning kind of decisions rather than, okay, am I going to start a business and, you know, leave my, you know, 401k, you know, comfy office job? Like, maybe don't start there.
So kill the lion and the bear first.
Yeah. And if that's too scary for you, kill a couple of bunnies, you know?
I'm a glorified youth pastor when it comes to ministry, even though I've spoken to some of the biggest churches in the world. I feel like at home with children and with youth. And one of the first things that youth hear about, because God sounds just like their hormones, is who they're supposed to date or marry. And so you have to tell them, like, have you ever heard God in a real way about anything big before? No. Then why do you think this is God? Because it feels right. You know, that's, that feeling is called hormones. You know, like, people have to learn and take stages. And like, you don't jump into a life-changing kind of relationship with hearing God's voice until you've walked with him, just like you don't tell someone on the first date you're going to marry them. And unless you're crazy, or every once in a while that works out, the 1%. So what we're saying is that there is a process to hearing God's voice, and you want to learn that process in your industry and in the way you operate. And that's one of the reasons why we have a passion for the book. Because if people get this, if people learn really in mass to take that responsibility of hearing God's voice off of a church, off of somebody else, off of a prophet, off of a pastor, off of Christian TV, whatever, and they actually take it for themselves, we're going to see areas of grace and love and mercy spread out over every kind of industry and genre, because people are going to be present there in this current level. I mean, most of the issues we're seeing with racism and politics and all these areas around the world, I mean, they're spiritually rooted issues. The United Nations can only do so much. They're a wonderful organization, but they can only do so much. But when Christians who've heard from God hear the root system, not just for prayer, but actually start to go after things, like we've been interviewing people. One of the ones I'm excited to interview is a man named Wes, who I've known his wife since I was 20, you know, and he's taking on the banking systems, but not adversarially, but doing nonprofit banking. He introduced the first nonprofit bank to the UK. They absolutely loved it because it gives back to the whole community. Now he's doing it in America. They just got all their licensing and everything through. This was considered something that would never be done in the current banking systems of the UK.
That's awesome.
Or America. And they're doing it because of a model from Germany. But he heard God, and he said to actually change the banking system and actually have the laws and the way we treat people not be penalized all the time, but actually operate out of the biblical structure of love, but in a legal way. We have to have wisdom like Solomon. And so that's what he prayed for. And he was able to rewrite laws, and the government accepted these. He's not a lawyer either. And the government accepted his laws. That shows you he heard from God. People all the time say, how are you this brilliant? It would take a team of 5,000 people. And he's like, God loves banking. God loves this country. God love, you know, to have, we Bob and I get to hear these kinds of stories all the time. And I just think this is the proof that people need, that they love the church proof, because the church is the community proof. It's that, like, I'm going to get emotionally well, I'm going to get spiritually well, but they need to see, does God care about agriculture? Mm-hmm. The average person who's being affected by world hunger needs to feel that God cares about that. Not just in the miraculous sense, of course, he wants to multiply food here and there, but does he care about food systems? And when people see that God cares about food systems, they go, because of your place there, they go, surely God's real. He loves even this, you know, and he can't be seen in that love unless we're there.
I'm going to send this episode to my buddy, Juan Whiting, who does just that in Rwanda. Like, he's an amazingly passionate, I would say he's a Christian with a Mormon background. Yeah. And it, really incredible guy to get to know, but he is using his education in agriculture to help improve the food system and farm way farms are managed in East Africa. It's just really cool. And total God thing of like how he got investment in his company and how things got started, and just like story after story of like, I don't know how this is going to work out, but it keeps on working out.
Dan, going back to your question about starting with the little things, I think God has given us a wisdom in the multitude of counselors. So as we start on this journey, what I've found in my life is when God's speaking to me, it usually doesn't make sense. It's usually opposite of what in my intellect I would think. And I've come over all these years to recognize that. But in the early years, I would surround myself with people who I could say, does this sound like God? Does this sound crazy? Am I, you know, making a decision here that is off the rails? And I think we have the ability to enter into to take our relationships into a deeper level as we start to hear God and bring those close, trusted friends that we have together and say, I'm practicing hearing God. I'm hearing God in a new way. And I've been praying about this decision that I've had to make, and I'm hearing these things, and it doesn't make sense to me. Does it make sense to you? And, or would you pray about this with me? And I think that's how we start on this process of little things and of including people and building relationships. It's something that as we grow and we mature, we recognize that we have to lean on these people more and more and more because the decisions get larger and more complex.
Totally. Yeah. That reminded me too, Dan, of the fact that when we wrote this book, we wanted to make sure we're not writing how to do marketplace evangelism or prophetic evangelism in the marketplace, because that's what most people, when they think about hearing God's voice, they think of starting a Bible study, or they think of, you know, and what Bob's talking about is so his DNA, which is how do we bring God relationally into our place of work? Even before, I mean, evangelism is a byproduct of that place of connection, connected relationships. I've watched Bob and his wife, Lauren, and how they treat their employees and how they treat their business and their partners and their people that they, you know, they do contracts for. And it's pretty magical. It's pretty crazy the level of loyalty and love people have for Bob and Lauren, because they're invested relationally. Like, they're bankers, they're lawyers, they're jewelers. They've introduced us to some of their world, and we now use some of their people as our primary, because the level of love that the people and loyalty people have towards Bob and Lauren were like a before and after moment for some of these people, who some were Christian, some weren't. And I just, like, I'm so impacted by that kind of love. So for me, like, one of the reasons I wanted to write this with Bob is because he comes from a relational foundation that can be imparted, and it's been imparted to my wife and I. And so this book isn't just like a how-to manual for how to do, you know, corporate marketplace hearing God. We could have been more strategic and been more basic in that sense, but it goes deeper into some of the philosophy and theology behind why we would hear from God in this space. And I know Bob and I, we've been really impacted by our book, which is funny. It's funny to say that, but we have, just doing it together. I think it's because we've co-authored, so we're impacted by each other's world so much that I think we're really impacted.
I like what you say in the book about how, like, you don't go into, you know, Monday morning, you know, business meeting, whatever, you know, space you're in, and talk about your faith right away. It's you know, it goes back to an old quote from, I can't remember who it's attributed to, but essentially, you know, go forth and preach the gospel and sometimes use words.
Yeah. Which we use that. It's everybody thinks St. Francis of Assisi said, we don't know if he said it or not, but we use that quote. But I think of, like, you know, there's some Christian businesses who are allowed to go in and pray. Like, we just interviewed from Charisma, which we're on Charisma podcast for our podcast. We interviewed Marcos from Charisma, who's the director of, like, their app and, you know, their publishing. And he was talking about that aspect because they're a Christian company, but there's companies that we know that are, like, chairman of Fortune 500 companies. One of the companies I've just consulted with, they have 80,000 employees, and he's the starter, founder, and chairman. So what he's dealing with is going to be different in how he expresses Christianity and how he hears God than somebody who is in a Christian coffee shop that is on stealth mode, you know?
Right.
So I think, like, Bob and I were really trying to make concession for that. But one of my stories that I love Bob said was that kid, Bob, that came to you after graduating, like, a really cool Bible school where everything's about evangelism. And he came to you and he's like, I'm going to come be in your business and, like, impact your world. We'll tell that story real fast, because I think Dan will appreciate it.
I remember reading it. It's a good one.
We were at a conference, and this young man came up to me and said, my friend, the pastor over there, just told me that you're a businessman. And I just graduated from this Bible school, and I want to come to your business and teach your people how to pray and prophesy over them. And I looked at him and I said, I would lock the door if I saw you coming. And he's like, what?
I'm like, this is truly Bob.
Business, you know, businesses, we're hitting metrics. We have performance, and we're running a business. So you would interrupt business, number one. Number two, I don't know your name. I don't have a relationship with you. And my employees certainly don't have a relationship with you. So, I think that's a terrible idea. And he, you know, he got really offended, and he went back to my friend, the pastor, and said, you know, that guy is something wrong with that guy. And we told that story because as employers, what we're trying to do is raise the quality of life for our employees, provide a safe place, and allow people to execute the mission and vision of the business. Now, if this young man had said, I'd like a job and I'd like to start by sweeping the floors and understand your culture and build relationship with you and, you know, work up through the ranks and, you know, maybe share my faith with people, that would have been a different conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to be like a spiritual consultant coming in and blowing the place up. And it's an idealism. It's a fantasy we have about, you know, if I'm going to have a business, it's going to be like, we're going to bypass all normal process and we're just going to have revival and I'm going to be an apostle of the business field or whatever, you know, whatever charismatic buzzword.
Yeah.
And the reality is that we don't bypass process. We just have to win with Jesus.
Yeah.
And we have to walk through, we have to, the same HR processes, which if you do in a major corporation, if you do force everybody to go to a prayer meeting like this young man wanted to do, it's actually against the law.
Yeah.
I mean, like the whole thing, like what he was asking for, Bob would have to put his, you know, business license on the table and say, I don't even know, you know, because it's not how he's even set up to do business. But what Bob and Lauren have done is so much more impactful than what I think somebody can do in a one moment prophetic consultation. I've gone into companies all over the world where they've asked me to pray for their lead executives, even some of whom were not saved if they were open to it. And we've had incredible time. So I believe in that, but yeah. The context when it's built relationally and it's not, yeah. That's not your whole foundation when you're doing a business, that's an added bonus that God can do. And I think that that's, we have to break down the idealism of what we don't want to do first so that we mm-hmm. look at who God is and how to incorporate him into our real lives and have faith that he cares about our cash flow issues or he cares about, you know, our underperformance because of COVID, or he cares about the fact that some people are going bankrupt and we're, you know, having to figure out like what that looks like for in a post COVID era. And so like God cares about that stuff. So when people really believe that, I think it's a game changer.
Yeah.
You too. I think the scripture, let your light shine before men, comes to me here on this. And, you know, kind of what I've come to is if a leader or a department head or a supervisor or a line worker is bent towards the Father, if they're bent towards the Father, then people are going to see the love of God coming through them. And, our character is going to go before us. God's character is going to go before us. And then relationally, we're going to have such an impact in a deeper way by caring for, loving, and being with the people that we're working with.
Yeah. I like how you're talking about kind of like the beginnings of this process of like using your influence wherever you've got. And one of those big pieces is carrying culture. And you know, culture gets thrown around in business books, self-help books all the time, but you actually define it pretty well. Like one of the best I've seen, composite of behavior evaluated in several areas of life. I love that. It's focused on behaviors that you can measure and observe, and what we could measure, we could change. So I just really liked how you put that at the forefront of this. This isn't some pie in the sky idealism, but really brass tacks. Hey, you know, what we're wanting to change is observable behaviors of the marketplace. And we do that one interaction, one relationship at a time.
I love that. Yeah, that's a Bob Hassan right there. That's one of the reasons why he's the should have been the first name on the book.
Gosh, it's been such a pleasure to write this, and I've learned so much from Sean. And as we move forward and continue to talk about this, Dan, we see these depths and layers of our relationship with God just continue to evolve. And we see that God has never been static. He's always on the move. He's always asking us to shift and adjust and hear him in new ways. He's full of surprises, and he's taking us on a journey that we could have never, ever imagined we would be going on.
That's so true.
Yeah. I got one more question before we bring this home here. If you're looking, if someone out there is listening, who's kind of going from the other direction of they're in that, you know, 0.1% of people in the ministry going out into the business world, and they're really new to that, what's some of those biggest shifts that you've seen for someone in that transition?
Well, because I'm in it, I can tell you, because I've, you know, I've been in both, but I senior pastored exclusively for about 8 years. And, And when I did that, it was really interesting because your staff, when you're senior pastoring, you're caring for their needs. You're actually like massively involved and engaged in their life because you're discipling them, versus when you're owning a business, you care about your staff and you do care for their needs too, but you also are not responsible for their needs. You're responsible to get the job done. It's way different. And so therefore you can't apply the exact same principles because they are an employee. And even the HR would be different in those different areas. And so when I was transitioning I led a group called the Love Coalition, which is a group of about 75 young ministries that were all emerging around the world. And a lot of them were also transitioning. So some have become like real estate agents as well as ministers. Some have become, one is owns a huge property and it's a farm along with their ministry. You know, they're doing Bible school out of the farm, but they're also doing agriculture. Like we have different people who own different things now, like or their owners or business operators. One owns an advertising agency that employs a lot of people in the church. And it's actually created with the church, like a partnership in their country to do that. And so like, it was wild when we're all kind of coming out because we had to detoxify kind of a religious responsibility to feel like we're responsible for everybody who works with us. And that was probably one of the biggest changes I had to go after, is to detoxify my responsibility and to like learn what my new lanes were in the context of just business, where I'm bringing Jesus through the business, but I'm no longer responsible the same way. So I'm sure Bob would have a different answer, but for me, I had to transition my mindset to say, there's actually something to get done that we're all doing. We're in ministry a lot of times, you're saying, you know, our vision together is what we're doing. But as a business owner, I had to say, actually, we're doing this. You guys can come serve me to do this. If you don't want to serve me anymore, you don't have a job anymore. That's totally different than church. In church, it's like half the people aren't there for you anyways, but you still love them. You know? You're still responsible to them. You know, they pretend to, but they're not, you know? So I think that's for a lot of pastors, God's transitioning them into the marketplace as well. We get constant reports, Bob and I do, through Exploring the Marketplace, of pastors who are telling us, I'm starting a food store, or I'm starting a product line, I'm sorry, whatever it is. And it's awesome because I think it's going to be 50% of ministry people are going to be in business too in the future, and in every kind of nation, because I think it really does place you in a place of connection to society and culture that gives you way more authority than when you're more disconnected and just governing a group of people who love Jesus alone. Something happens when you care about the city and the city metrics, when you're not just consumed with just a ministry. Now, I'm not saying it's not okay to be consumed with just a ministry. That's fine too. But there is something for those people who are going to be more like a Joseph or a Daniel and have that kind of authority. They have to have a foot in society somewhere that's not just self-interested. And I think that's really, you know, a unique feature that God's doing with people who are coming out of ministry in the marketplace.
Yeah, I've seen pastors who, in the old days, like if you want to call it the sacred versus the secular, where the people who worked in the church spoke and everybody else listened. But I've seen an evolution where church leaders are recognizing that they need builders or marketplace people to help them in their churches. And so I think, you know, pastors not being afraid of trusting the people that are sitting, that are committed to them in their congregations, that maybe manage a $1 billion P&L and can really help the growth of the church just through their tried and true strategic and business initiatives, that they can learn to trust people like that. We've seen so many churches employ a builder or a marketplace person, you know, come next to the pastor and help the systems in the church normalize and become more professional. And I think we're seeing that more and more and more.
Hmm. I love that. It was giving me a lot of ideas and food for thought. We could talk about this for hours, and I just really appreciate both of you guys and the work you're doing. It is so, so needed in the world right now. And man, where can people go find the book and everything else that you guys are up to?
Well, you find the book on bowlsministries.com or anywhere books are sold. And we're going to have a post order, which is part of our pre-order all through May. We have a lot of signed copies that we're going to be giving away, as well as a video series. And so people who get the book comes out on May 4th. This podcast, I know, is going to be after that. So they can come find it.
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you. My team is awesome. And but you can get it on Amazon. And if you do get it somewhere else, like Barnes & Noble or Amazon, please rate, review it. We'd love that. It'd help our reach and our connection to people, because we want this message to get out. It's a very unique message that is normally niche, but I believe it's going to go beyond the normal niche of the circle we're in.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll make sure to link to all of that in the show notes, and can't wait for people to get their hands on it and apply it to their lives. It's going to be really great. Just thanks for being here today, guys. Really appreciate thanks, you and Dan. Keep it up.
Thank you, Dan. Honored to be with you.
Thanks for joining us today on the Anthem of the Adventurer. Make sure that you subscribe to our email list to get all of our updates on theanthemoftheadventurer.com. Like us and follow us on Instagram and Pinterest to get all of the visual updates. And keep an eye out for the updated blog and website coming out in the end of May. If you're looking for some more resources to keep your adventures going, check out our Tribe on Facebook, the Anthem of the Adventurer Tribe, or our friends over at the Adventure Challenge. You can use the code DAN10 at checkout to get 10% off your order for a really amazing book full of challenges for you and your family. Go out and live your adventure.